Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, and we trust you. Thank you for blessing us with answered prayer, forgiving us of our sins, cleansing us from all unrighteousness, and blessing us with the latter rain. We want to go forth and glorify you, Lord. So thank you for letting the signs follow your people. Thank you for keeping a hedge of angels around us, around our loved ones, around the workers, and the work, so that we can go home that much quicker. We can lift up all those that are on our prayer list. We pray, Father, that you bless them and keep them safe, especially those that are lost. Give them ample opportunities to bow their knees to Christ. And I give a bridle in my tongue and any tongue that may speak today, so that you and you alone are being glorified when the changing of the showbread is done. And again, to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, who is our Lord and our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. If you're joining us on the radio, just click the link on the WTPR Live page where it says Sabbath Day Study Notes. And we're on number 9. It should bring you right to it. Unless, of course, I messed up the link again. So if I did, just scroll to number 9. And question number 9 says, those who had experienced the bitter disappointment were told they must do what again? Thank you, Brother Gorin. It says, Revelation 10, verse 11, it says, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now, amazing, isn't it? I mean, not only does the Lord prophesy, the church will make the mistake of predicting the day or the hour, like we discussed last week. Their mistake will cause them to prophesy again unto the people so as to correct the issue. And this is what the original SDA church did for decades until they fell into apostasy and in so doing gave license onto the remnant of her seed to finish the work. That's, of course, us. In fact, the third angel's message is to be repeated all the way until the end. Yeah, I believe there are other reasons the angel says Babylon is fallen and then repeats the fact it is fallen in Revelation 14:8. I mean, for example, one could see that, yes, the Roman church is Babylon and has, in fact, fallen into deep apostasy. As we look at the SDA church, we also see that they, too, have fallen and become a sister to fallen Babylon. But I can also see a reason to repeat the message of Babylon's fall due to the fact Revelation 10, verse 11 says we must prophesy again. Hmm. You know, anyway, the bottom line is this. We are to give the last warning of God to, you know, to all the men, all the women, and all the children the Lord sends our way. This is also why many of us have gone into a much deeper study of the precious Word of God so as to have the necessary tools by which to warn them. And don't let it bother you that you have an issue with memory, because I have a big problem in that area, as many of you know. But I am a firm believer in John 14:26, who will, you know, where it says he will bring all things to our remembrance whatsoever he has said unto us. And the only way he's going to be able to say it unto you is if you actually read his word. And I saw it happen many times on the street, but I always remember the first time with that young man that I've shared so many times before, where I heard the still small voice to go to a specific area in the scriptures that I did not know where this verse was he was asking for. I knew it was in the Bible. I knew it was in the book of Matthew. I just didn't know what chapter or verse. And then that still small voice just came upon me and told me where to go. And there it was. So, again, you need to read the word, though, so as to have the necessary tools by which to warn the people he sends your way. I mean, this is also why those of us that do this work in the church plead with those that don't to please spread the truth in any way they can. We need to go from house to house, from city to city, or even person to person, passing out tracts or opening Bibles, to tell as many as we can what the Lord has done for us. I mean, we need to print as many tracts and booklets as possible, as well as DVDs, so as to leave them in shops and public bathrooms and the malls and libraries, on trains and planes and buses, in the hands of as many as will accept them in the street. And as many of you have already started to do recently. As a matter of fact, Brother Race's church out there in Florida is going to be doing that today, so please keep it in your prayers. They're going to be going around on the street corners, and people that drive by the corners are going to give them water, as well as a tract regarding the living water, who is, of course, our Lord and Savior. And that's a wonderful time to do it, is on Sabbath day. And then we all know about what Brother Craig and all the other, I don't want to say people, but brethren are doing all around the world. We got over 750 people out there doing this right now, all over the world. And then, or you can mail, actually. I used to do this, and I still have the page on the website waiting for someone to all of a sudden find one of these things and email me, because I put the tracks in baggies, Ziploc baggies, and then let them off with a helium balloon. I did that for about a year from this where I'm at right now, Central Indiana, and I just let it off, especially on windy days, and, you know, it gets up there. And I used to love to just sit there and watch it and see how high it goes and how far I can watch it before it just completely disappears where you can't see it. And literally, I just had like a little ribbon, you know, like those little ribbons you could put on presents. Of course, tie off the balloon, and you could buy the helium cheap. It was like, I think it was $20 for a bottle of helium and a whole mess of balloons, and you just bought the box, and that's what I did. And I would usually get rid of it, a couple of months, because there was a lot of balloons in the bag. And it was great. Every now and then you let the kids let them loose, but you had to go in a certain area. You got to be careful, because you can get it caught up in the trees. You got to find a spot, or the wires, the electric wires that are going by. You got to make sure that they're, out here on the farm, all you got to do is just step on the other side of the wires wherever the wind is, and there ain't no wires for miles. It's just amazing the way they just take off. But if you're in a city and stuff like that, you might want to put two balloons to give it that real quick jerk straight up so it passes all them wires and stuff. Because, you're in the city, you're pretty well covered in wire. But like I was saying there, too, you can also mail them to people's addresses that you get out of your local phone books, too. Just stick a track in the mail and mail it to somebody, and then hopefully it'll bless a heart. I mean, I understand that some of us aren't able to do a lot of work. However, what if the Lord has blessed you financially so that you can pay for the cost of those tracks and DVDs that need to be printed out by your brothers and sisters? Or what if the Lord has blessed you with time, so that you can do things at home on your computer, like printing tracks or writing tracks or whatever, or doing studies for people that are in need of understanding. Start like an email ministry. People, you got a question about this certain Bible verse or that Bible verse, send me an email. I'll send you what it means, using scripture to explain it, of course. I mean, even if you're busy or just too shy to hand a tract to a soul, you can always mail a few each week or leave them. I started doing this a few years ago, and I still do it. Because I always got tracts on me. Well, I usually have all the, they always have the cards on me. I started the cards, 10 or 15 years ago, because I used to hand out business cards when I was in sales. And I got rid of all my business cards, and now all I have is my main card is my Antichrist card. But now Craig's got all these really nice cards, and so I never know what to put in my thing. But but I always have my starter, my Antichrist cards. And so I put them in the pockets of shirts and jackets and pants in Walmart or Target or wherever store I'm in, I put them inside of a lunchbox, like a little kid buys, like a parents buy a lunchbox for a little kid, you open it up, you stick the track in there. I wouldn't advise doing this, but I've even gone so far as, do you ever see those 3D puzzles? And I think they're amazing. You do a puzzle like three-dimensional. It's pretty neat. Well, they had this one in Walmart that was the Vatican, and it was wrapped in solid, like the plastic shrink wrap, And I always carried this little dinky little knife with me. It's like about the size of your pinky. It's a little knife for, cutting twine or whatever. It's also got tweezers and scissors. And I just cut a little slit along the edge of the box where you couldn't even see it, slid the track in there, and pinged it with my finger, and way inside the box, there's a track in there now about the Antichrist in a Vatican 3D puzzle. And I didn't say the Pope was the Antichrist. I just said, who is the Antichrist? You know, like my original one. But there's all sorts of ways you can do it, you know. So, I mean, we know we are in the last days, and we know the truth. We understand it is the absolute truth. I mean, just comparing it to the weak and watered-down version of the Sunday-keeping churches is evidence enough. They have so many strange doctrines that even a babe in Christ can now see as false just by opening their Bibles. I mean, or relying on the John 14:26 theology. Yeah, there's another good place to do it. I've even stuck it in people's track. Now you can't do it, but back in the 80s and the 90s, before they came up with ways to stop people from siphoning your gas, the only way to get your gas cap to open up was to, like, push a lever inside the car. Well, in the old days, you just opened it, and I stuck tracks in there. So the next time the guy goes to get gasoline, he opens it up, and there's a track. You know? I mean, literally, I mean, wherever you think to stick it, you stick it. I mean, take the Sabbath, for example, too. We know there's not a single Bible in regards to these false doctrines that I was getting to, the Sunday keepers and all that. I mean, we know there's not a single Bible passage, you know, from Genesis to Revelation that says that the Sabbath was changed, yet the entire Sunday-keeping world can't see what we see. That fact alone proves we are not only God's chosen people. I mean, just like Nehemiah was out there repairing the breach in the wall when Sanballat came up to try to slow the work, we are a pile of Nehemiahs out there. You know, we are what Isaiah called, you know, the repairs of the breach. You know, and this is why we get these Sanballats coming around all the time, trying to get us to chase rabbits and try to do the things that they want us to do, or with their either fanaticism or just outright bold-faced mass email lies about us and stuff like that. And then, I mean, I can understand the theology behind what Nehemiah said. Who are you that I should step down from the Lord's work? Yeah, but sometimes you have to defend yourself, too, because the lies do get pretty graphic sometimes. I mean, but knowing that we are in the last days, and knowing that we understand these things, and most of the world doesn't, well, then for all intents and purposes, we are those people that prophecy said that we're going to do this work. I mean, seriously, there are Seventh-day Adventist people that understand what we understand too, though, yeah. But the overwhelming majority of them either don't believe it or have stopped going to the... Well, okay, now let's just say this. Let me just put it this way. There are Seventh-day Adventist people that understand what we understand, but it's a very, 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 very small number. And eventually they are going to come out of that church, because if they really understand prophecy, they're eventually going to come to Revelation 18. They know what apostasy is. It's the main fruit of Babylon. And every SDA will tell you that their church is in apostasy. And so they know they're going to have to come out. But here's the thing. I remember years ago when we started our first audio conference, like this church services and stuff, but I did it every day of the week. I didn't just do it on Sabbath. I did it every day of the week when I got home from work. And quite often, I mean, we'd have 75 to 100 families in there every night, but we would always have at least 10 or 15 Seventh-day Adventists, and they all had the same comment. We've never heard this before. And so we are it, people. You know, we understand this. We share this. They aren't sharing it, even though this is their theology. I mean, we are what the original SDA church was supposed to do or be. I mean, that's why we're called the remnant of her seed in Revelation 12:17. We are the ones, prophecy says, are going to step up in the last days to finish the work. I mean, seriously, just look at the facts. We are in the last days. We know the truth. We understand the prophecies. The Lord's hand is seen in our church. And just to name a few, the healings, the miracles, the blessings, it's just mind-bogglingly, I mean, it's a really nice, faith booster, if you will, when you see all this. I mean, there's so much stuff running through my mind right now in regards to all this because of how the Lord has shown his hand to us. And even to the scoffer. I mean, we are even seeing atheists coming to Christ because we share the truth as it was prophesied to be shared. I mean, because they say, you know, they go to these other churches, and this is one of the reasons you have atheists today. So many of them, they're getting very bold, is because they're going to these other churches, the Sunday keepers, whether it's Catholic or even SDA, because the SDA has dozens and dozens of Sunday keeping churches now. So no matter what church they go to, they're getting the same watered down version of prophecy that Schofield's gap theory has been, you know, sanitizing. And so they can't get any real understanding of the prophecies, let alone just basic doctrinal or biblical jurisprudence or any kind of a, you know, precept upon precept. I mean, they can't get it from these other churches. It's just not there. And then when they stumble, and I don't think it's a stumble, but they sometimes say, I stumbled along your website, and all of a sudden, bam, you know. And it's just the Lord doing it, because he knows they're looking for the truth just like anybody else. An atheist is crying out for the truth. For them to be as bold as they are to put out these billboards and stuff like that, they want someone to show them, look, I've been saying for decades, I don't believe you. It's a bunch of lies. It's bogus. It's impossible. Then all of a sudden, one of our children, a babe in Christ, comes up to them and says a few words, and they drop to their knees and weep. I mean, that being the case, what does that tell you? We are the people that God is using right now. And this is not to get our heads all swollen up or anything, because we are here to glorify him, not us. It's he that shall be glorified, not us. We can only do that which prophecy says his people will do. And the minute we start getting all that and bag of chips in our mind, guess what? He's going to stop using you, drop you like a hot potato, because you're all about self then. I mean, but still, the fact that he's using us, and the fact that the attacks are coming on a regular basis, and the fact that the blessing's there, and the signs are starting to follow his people, and we see the latter rain coming and falling. And it's not only exciting, it's a boost to our faith in a way that we cannot comprehend, many can't comprehend. It really is exciting. And since we know all this, we must no longer bow to Satan's temptations. I mean, even in the smallest, and I'm talking that piddly stuff that you know you still do. You know, even the little piddly things, oh, it's just a little white lie, or it's just, I only looked for a second kind of a thing, or, look, I only ate half that candy bar, whatever. Even the smallest areas of life, we must put them down permanently. We need to call all our resources to this work. We must take advantage of every talent with which our God has granted us. If we can speak or teach, then it is the sacred desk we are called to be, you know, standing in. If we have the gift of management, then we must work to delegate those that have the talents to do other work. If we are an artist, then we can work on the tracks to where the glory of the Lord is revealed, you know. If we have the gift of free time, we must use it wisely to those that are too busy. I remember that's one of the first things I did as a Christian back in 30 years ago. One of the first things I said, Father God, you've given me these few talents. I know there's many guys out there that are extremely busy. Let me take the load off of them. This is back when I was a Sunday keeper, because I didn't understand the Sabbath for 10 more years. And so I did computer programming or graphic arts or networking or whatever for these preachers. Or if you're financially blessed, you can fund the church, the work. The church, of course, that's the duty of the people. They're supposed to tithe. If they don't, then they're asking for problems from a whole bevy of areas. But if you're financially blessed, then you can fund the workers as Nicodemus did when the church started. That man was a rich man, and he put all his money into helping the apostles. Whenever they needed to do this or do that, he was there to make sure that they can do this and do that. And if we know how to use a computer, we can make apps that can be used to help people or even study the word more effectively. You know, like an app for iPads or Android or whatever. Or just eSword kind of software. Make a nice little Bible study software or whatever. And if we know how to build websites, well, we can create websites for ministers that don't know how to do it, or preachers or teachers that don't know how to do it, that need to get their message out there. do you know how to edit videos? I mean, then you could either help those that are doing them now by making intros or audio editing for them, because the editing of the video in itself is extremely time consuming. Ask, you know, ask Luke or ask Craig or ask, or any of you that do edit, do videos. It really knocks you back a while. It's very time consuming, but there's little things that you can do, like make little graphics that can be used in the videos. You know, kind of like, moving clip art, if you will, you know, or you could just search online for high definition pictures to use in the videos that are being made. In other words, there's a lot of work to be done, and I've only scratched the surface here. You know, whenever I'm approached by someone asking what they can do for the Lord, I always ask them, what talent has the Lord given you? What do you find enjoyment in doing in life? I mean, the Father has given his Son's bride everything she needs to do this work, just as he did when they were called to build the sanctuary of old. All we need to do is realize that which he has given and just plain get busy. The Lord demands that in his servants shall be found a love-filled spirit that is quick to understand the value of every soul they meet. These same servants will also understand the duties that need to be done. Better yet, they'll be quick to respond to the call, just as a minuteman is prepared to step up. But, I mean, the Lord's bride must know she is just visiting this planet. She must understand nothing on this planet can pull her away from her appointed task. So anyway, next question, number 10. What was to be measured? In Revelation 11, verse 1 says, and there was given me a reed, like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise, measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. Now, many fail to realize this, but this measurement is, in fact, the judgment of our Lord taking place. I mean, thanks to the dated prophecies of Daniel, the prophet, we know that as of October 22nd, 1844, when the 2300 year prophecy ended, the investigative judgment had begun. To measure the temple and the worshipers in his body of believers is to look upon them on a daily basis. We need to remember, when we are living day by day, that the Lord our God is measuring our every move. And this is why Paul declared in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is a spirit-filled man talking. You want instruction on what to do in life? There it is. That's why I was saying earlier, get rid of those little piddly problems. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, even in our homes, as we go through the day, do you show the love of the Lord to everyone in the house? Do we show the Lord that we are his children? Or do we find ways to busy ourselves with gossip on the phone or watch movies on the TV or even on the internet? Do we play video games that entertain us by killing or competing against our fellow man to cause them to fail? Or use magical potions in the video games? Or do we think on whatsoever things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of good report? If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Our God is measuring each and every one of us right now. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36 that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Our actions are actually being recorded in ways that even the best photographer or audio recording equipment could not even comprehend. I mean, because that stuff, you get a magnet near it, it's erased. This stuff don't erase what the Lord's doing. I mean, as his bride, most of us strive onto that perfection, knowing he is measuring the temple and its worshipers to see who is going to stand in that number on that last day. This is why we have these trials. He wants to know Can we do what he needs for us to do? Can we handle it? We also need to realize that even as we do the work, our God is watching the spirit in which we do it. You know, many can claim Christ Lord simply because they fear hellfire, but this is not what his remnant people are going to be doing. Hellfire is not even on the ticket. I mean, that's we know to bring our Lord into our everyday lives, into our workplace, into the classroom, or even into the home. We can't even contemplate, and we got to get to that point where we can't even contemplate making a frown show up on his face or grieving his heart. I mean, if we are to be part of that number that is called to represent him throughout the universe as his ambassadors, we know that he needs to be able to trust us even when we are all alone and no man sees what we're doing. Do we choose to sin when we're all alone? Or do we do as his bride is prophesied to do, even when the entire world is against her? Those days are racing towards us at breakneck speed right now. And as we look around, all the signs are clearly visible everywhere that his coming is very close indeed. I mean, the weather's, I mean, we just did a sermon series. And by the way, that's going to be on the site tomorrow when I do the updates, that very near the ending, that seven-part series, the entire transcript is going to be on. It's already done. It'll be on the site tomorrow. We know what time it is. That being said, are we really doing all we can to allow for a good measurement when he comes? I hope and pray you were blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.